The Jesuit poet Hopkins was inundated with the world's beauty, demonstrated in a poem that he wrote called High Beauty. And the poem goes like this: Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies a couple color as a brindled cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire cold chestnut falls, finches wings, landscape plotted and pierced, fold, follow, and plow, and all trades, their gears and tackle and trim, all things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle, dim. He fathers forth, whose beauty has past changed, praise him. And then, like that poem, the poem looks at creation. The poem looks at all the good things, all the stuff that surrounds us, all of our experiences, all of our wanderings, all of our moments of great joy, even the great sorrow. We recognize and realize that all that we have and all that we have been given is given to us by a God who loves us immensely more than we can imagine. A God who continues to come into our lives, to embrace us, to bring us salvation and peace through his Son, Jesus Christ, to inspire us, to grant us wisdom and goodness through the Holy Spirit. And it's the God that we've come to know. And as Father Hopkins looks around him, he recognizes just the intricacy of the beauty of all creation, of the whole world, and calls upon us to praise God, to praise God who fathers forth the beauty. Father Robert Barron wrote a few years ago, as part of his Word on Fire series, about philosophy in these last 200 years or so. And Father Robert Barron says one of the dangers that we've had now in the movements of philosophy is that we've come to a place where we say, well, anything that I think as an individual is necessarily right and good. That there are no truths, that there is no sort of core value, if you will, or core goodness, or core beauty. That all things that I think are right, and you might think something differently, and that's okay too. And that my values are just as good as your values, or which are just as good as someone else's values. And Father Barron says, what the danger is then, is that we compartmentalize ourselves into this unit, or this place, or this space. And we don't allow ourselves to see the totality of everything that has been given to us. That God is simply watered down, and God is simply one option among all the other options that we have in our lives. And in doing so, and living in that way, that we find ourselves connected to all the passing fads and fancies that we encounter in our daily life. And so when this thing doesn't work out, we simply go to some other object of our affection. When this kind of escalation in our joy doesn't fulfill ourselves, then we find something else to give us joy or to give us peace. And we're always looking for that solid foundation, but we're always walking on sand as we're doing that. And the peace that we experience in our lives never comes without a shadow. Father Henry Nouwen wrote at one point that there's always a quality of sadness that pervades all the moments of our life. So that even in our most happy moments, there is something that's missing. In every satisfaction, there's an awareness of limitation. In every success, there's a fear of jealousy. In every friendship, there's a distance. Every embrace, there's a loneliness. In this life, there's no such thing as a clear-cut, pure joy. But we strive. We're always trying to find that ultimate joy. And we're always falling flat on our face and realizing that we feel very empty by that. Every bit of our life is touched by a piece of death. The world cannot give peace, and it does not do peace perfectly in any way, shape, or form. And then we see what Jesus offers us. Remember, he's sitting at the Last Supper, and as he prepares for his passion and death and ultimate resurrection, Jesus offers us the gift of his peace. And what is his peace? Well, it's the absolute assurance that we are connected to the source of life, God, in such a way that nothing, absolutely nothing, can ever sever that relationship that we have with God. That relationship with God is bonded by a perfect covenant, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that God has created each and every one of us and said, this is good, and has placed us on the earth and breathed life into all of us. So not bad health nor betrayal by someone, indeed even our own sin. We are unconditionally loved and held by our God, a God who continues to come into our lives, continues to hold us close to his heart, and nothing can change the unconditional love that God has for each and every one of us. And that gives us pause. And it says to us and asks us that question then, where are our yearnings? What's the source of our desire? Where do we want to lead our lives? What do we want to look for the answers? Well, we want to look for God and godliness and those things holy, those things that are of the kingdom of God. Remember the disciples. They get so caught up in their position and power and authority. Jesus, who is going to be sitting at your right hand and your left hand? Who's the best apostle? Jesus, should we go and call fire upon that village of people who offended us? Maybe we should somehow, diss them because they dissed us as well. So we have this relationship, even with the disciples, even with those who were closest to Jesus, they didn't always understand. And Jesus had to constantly call them to a higher way of being, a higher way of understanding. That this mission and ministry is about the kingdom of God, about opening a place and space of salvation for all men and women. Remember the opening prayer. It calls upon us to reject what is contrary to the gospel, that which is contrary to the good news. All those things that strive to waste and whittle away God's power and God's glory and God's goodness. That we are called instead, as the opening prayer, as the collect calls us, to place our whole trust, our whole lives in the hands of the Creator. Realizing that it is our God, the God of goodness, the God of light, the God who gives us every good thing, who has enriched the land and enriched our lives as well. So the question that we're asked today in the gospel is, how good is your soil? Do you and I groan and yearn for the goodness of God which is lavished upon us? Do we take time each and every day to let the love of God into our lives, to permeate the soil of our hearts, our souls, our very being? Do we allow prayer and the sacred word of God to be something that we reflect upon each and every day, that will guide and lead and govern our lives, that will give us reflection and pause and consolation throughout the moments of our lives as well? Do we allow the sacraments to be part of our life, our daily life, and really reflect upon the sacredness that we are taking into ourselves every time that we participate in the sacraments? And do we allow the Word of God to inspire us to works of compassion and kindliness and generosity and understanding, that we do not allow the stuff of this world to set the tone for our lives, or rather the goodness of God and his love and his graciousness? Some seed is snatched away from those who lack understanding. Others receive it joyfully. But the seed grows quickly and withers, while others receive it, but are later drawn away by the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. But the seed, the word of the kingdom, which falls on good soil, bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and in another 30.